Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Last week we talked about a resource for playing board games and card games that are accessible online. This week we'll talk about accessible games that you can play on your iOS device, like an iPad or iPhone.
We'll speak with Judy Dixon, the editor and one of the co-authors of a recently published book entitled Anyone Can Play, Accessible Games for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. And she will cover accessible app versions of word games, board and card games, role-playing games, adventure games, and much more. But first for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Judy Dixon.
I think the thing that I think the most about for the iOS game as a blind person, and especially since I was a blind child, I was often bored. And there were times when there was just nothing to do. And now with iOS games, you never have to be bored again.
And that's one great reason for playing games, in addition to the fact that they're fun. But, you know, many of these games that we talked about last week and that Judy will talk about this week, you can play either by yourself or you can also play them with other people and make friends and connect with people.
And become part of the local culture. If your friends are talking about some game that they're enjoying playing, whether it's Words with Friends or it's some card game or they've got a Rubik's Cube and you can't participate in the game, well, you can't participate in the conversation either. So it's nice to have access to all of these games that other people are finding enjoyable, and maybe you will too. Let's start by meeting Judy Dixon and learning about some of the other books she's written.
So, Judy, we've talked with you before, but maybe you can just reintroduce yourself to our listeners who may not be familiar with you.
I am Judy Dixon, and I am, by day at least, the Consumer Relations Officer at the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. What I'm here to talk about now is not part of my day job. It's part of the rest of my life, which is iPhones and things like that.
Now, we actually will be talking to you later about a new book that you wrote, but you've written several other books. Can you tell our listeners what other books you've written?
Well, actually, the first book that I wrote for National Braille Press was called Label It, and it was about all things having to do with labeling, with Braille, and people were amazed that you could write a 100-page book about labeling. But it was actually possible, and there was a lot of good stuff in that. And I think that was in about 2007 or so. And then came a couple of small app books. And then the really big one, the exciting one, was in 2013. I wrote Get the Picture, Viewing the World with the iPhone Camera. And that was a really fun book that I spent about 6 months working on. Did a lot of research and learned tons myself. It was great fun. And my husband and I did one last year, another book about all travel apps, out and about iPhone apps having to do with everything from armchair travel to translation apps, anything you might need traveling.
Can you give us a quick summary of the book you wrote about travel?
It was a book of about 25 apps, and it had apps in it. There was the CIA World Factbook. There's a wonderful app that where you can just speak words and pick the language, and it will speak them in that language. Or the other way around, somebody can speak in another language. You can say you'd like to hear those words in English, and it can do it. There's flight apps. There's a great app I love called Gate Guru, which if you're in an airport and you know you're sitting at gate 26 and they tell you your flight is delayed for 3 hours and you say, oh my, but I'm starving, you can look in this app and it'll tell you there's a Starbucks at gate 28 and there's a Chick-fil-A at gate 24 and you know which way to go to look for some food, some drink, whatever you might want.
You know what would be really handy is an app that tells you where the family assist restrooms are, because some airports, we were just at LaGuardia, I think they had one for 1,000 gates.
There are quite a number of restroom apps, just in general.
Well, that can be another useful resource. So if people want to get that book, they know where to go also. Great.
There's a lot of good travel apps in that book.
And in case you're interested, we actually did an entire interview with Judy about her book on using the iPhone camera called Get the Picture. So look for that show in our archives.
And we did an earlier show with her about her day job and what services the National Library Service provides. We're going to be talking to you about this book in which you reviewed accessible games on iOS devices. Just to add to your credibility, you are blind yourself, right?
Oh, yes. I am blind. I am a voiceover user with my iPhone. I also use my iPhone often with a braille display.
And you've been totally blind since birth.
More or less. I was visually impaired as a kid. When I went to first grade, they thought I could read large print. So they put in those days, they called it sight saving. And they put me in the sight saving class. And I was in the sight saving class for 3 weeks. And they decided my sight wasn't worth saving. And they were right. So I went over to the Braille class and I've been a Braille reader ever since.
So you've written these books from the perspective of a user. And that gives people some good information as to how usable these apps really are on the smartphones.
These apps are all written from the perspective of a totally blind voiceover user. Someone asked me if I addressed issues of low vision. I said, no, because I don't know anything about that. So I don't know which apps are playable. These are strictly from the point of view of voiceover.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is accessible games for iOS devices and Judy Dixon's recently released book on the topic.
Judy, maybe you can give us an overview of your latest book.
The current book is about games, and the title is Anyone Can Play Accessible Games for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. And interestingly, I did not write this book by myself. This book has 7 chapters, and I would like to go through those at some point, but it has 7 chapters written by 6 people. I wrote 2 of the chapters myself. 2 people wrote 2 each, and 1 chapter was written by 2 people. So it turns out to be 6 authors and 7 chapters. And it was really a good thing in the case of this book, because there's so much variety in the area of games that no one person is likely to play all these different kinds of games. So the people who wrote the chapters for this book were experts in and experienced in their particular kinds of games. And then I took all of the chapters that everybody wrote and sorted it out and made sure nobody wrote about the same games. And then I edited the whole book and put it together.
So what was the impetus for putting together this book of resources about accessible games? How did that come about?
Well, National Braille Press, for some years, there's a woman who works there. Her name is Diane Croft. And she kind of works on special projects and special things. Over the years, she's worked on all kinds of different books with blind authors and other authors, but a lot of how-to. Then there have been, you know, self-defense and books like that. But then there's been a lot of books about, in recent years, iPhone things and Mac things. And there's an iPad book and quite a lot of other iDevice. And so I'm always saying, well, Diane, why don't we do a book about this? Diane. And and so I think it was about a year ago, I said, what about games? And she always asked me every time I suggest a book to her, do you think there's enough people who would want to buy that? Well, I think so. I think games are going to be pretty popular. some of my more obscure ideas she hasn't thought much of. And, you know, she's probably right. There probably isn't a lot of people who would buy books about apps, about mathematical formulas, and probably nobody would like that. And I get that.
But everybody likes to play once in a while.
Oh, sure. And the greatest thing, there's 41 games in this book. And what I think is the really great thing about this book is there is something in here for everybody.
Are you, I mean, the term gamer usually brings to mind people who play these on-screen, heavily graphics games. But do you play games yourself?
I do. I only play card games and Sudoku and things like that. I don't care much for the adventure games. And I like a game that I can win and that it's clear who won and who lost and that it's quick. I don't have much of an attention span, so I have about a 20-minute ride to work, and it's time for a good solitaire game. And I play solitaire. It wakes me up in the morning.
Probably puts you to sleep at the end of the day.
How did you come to collect the individuals who wrote the individual chapters?
Well, that was kind of interesting because I do not personally know them. When I suggested games, Diane said to me, well, there's been a number of people who have contacted me about that, and they're writers. They're people who have written things. And so we put this group together. We had one conference call, and we agreed on a timetable and length of chapters and so forth. Everybody was absolutely either on time or ahead of time. Most of them were ahead of schedule. We only had about a two-month timeline to do this, and we all stuck to our schedule, and we had it into National Braille Press a couple of weeks ahead of schedule.
You suggested earlier that you'd like to go through the book chapter by chapter. Can we do that now, starting at the beginning?
Oh, sure. There's seven chapters. The first one is called Competitive Games, and this is about the game center, and then it also outlines several competitive games that people can play with friends and with other people through the game center. And this is by a young woman named Naeem Bravo. She's a proofreader at National Braille Press.
And what's next?
The next chapter is word games. And this is crossword puzzles and iAssociate 2 and Moxie and a lot of the games that many blind iPhone users are fairly familiar with. And this chapter is by Janet Ingber. She's also been an author for National Braille Press. She wrote a book for them about getting started with the Mac.
And we did an episode of Eyes on Success with Janet Ingber discussing that topic.
The third chapter is card games. And this one was written by me. And it has my favorite, solitaire. I love solitaire. And there's an awesome solitaire game. There's an app developer. The company is called Kid Friendly Software, and the developer is a man named Marty, who is developing, he calls his games Blindfold this and that, Blindfold Solitaire, Blindfold War, Blindfold Crazy Eights. And the idea is that there's not much on the screen. It's not visible. So sighted people can play them as if they were blindfolded, but they happen to be quite terrific games for blind people. And there's a whole series of those. There's Blindfold Blackjack and Blindfold Poker and all of these games. And then they show up in some other chapters too. But they're really, really, really great games. There's other games in here. There's cribbage and traditional games like that.
We actually did a search for the blindfold whatever games, and there are over a dozen of them.
So that was the first three chapters. What do we have next?
The next chapter is Adventure Games by a woman named Addie Svensson. Addie lives in Nebraska, and she really enjoys adventure games and the active ones. And this is King of Dragon Pass and Papa Sangre and games that I personally know nothing about. So it was great to have somebody who knew about those kinds of games to write this chapter. She did a great job. And the next chapter is Strategy Games, and this one is by me. And this one has, again, by Kid Friendly Software, this has an accessible Sudoku, which is a really awesome game. I love Sudoku. And this Sudoku game is a 9x9 traditional game of Sudoku that actually lets you enter candidates. So if you the object of Sudoku is that you have to get the digits 1 through 9 in all of the columns, in all the rows, and in all of the 3x3 squares. Well, if you get to narrow it down so that you think it's either a 3 or a 7, but you're not sure which, this app even lets you write in the candidates, which is really nice because it keeps you from going crazy. And there's a Sudoku Mini, which is just a little Sudoku. It's just a 4x4 Sudoku, which is really fun for people who want to just try it out and see what Sudoku's like, who think they might not be able to manage the 9x9. And there's a lot of other fun games in that chapter. There's an Othello. There's even an accessible Rubik's Cube, a 2x2 Rubik's Cube that is absolutely 100% accessible and playable on the phone. I never would have thought there would be a three-dimensional game that a blind person could play on an iPhone.
Wow, this just sounds like so much fun. What's next?
So the next chapter is role-playing games. And this is by a couple, and I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher their names because they're hard to say. Sharon and Cole Corby. And they wrote a chapter about role-playing games. And these are games that people play by email. And they exchange information with each other. They take the role of a television show or a book or something they made up, and they play games by email. Apparently, there's a lot of people who do this. Again, an area that I don't know anything about, which is why this book is so great, because it has so many different points of view.
But wait, there's even more. What is the last chapter?
And then the last chapter is called Sports Games, and this was by Addie Svensson again. And this one has a lot of active games like ping pong and archery, games where you actually wave your iPhone around, which makes me a little nervous, but they're games that get you up and moving around, or games where you turn and shoot at things, but they're all accessible and they're really quite fun. And then there's some kind of armchair athlete games where you keep track of scores of games, basketball and things like that. So there's a lot of sports games in that chapter.
Well, sounds like there's something in that book for everybody.
So some of these games sound pretty simple to make accessible. If you were doing a dice game, for example, it's pretty easy with VoiceOver to tell what dice values came up or whatever. But some games seem like they might be more difficult to make accessible. What are some of the challenges that people had to overcome, and how do they make some of these more complicated games accessible?
Well, they're not too complicated. The adventure games are really just words on the screen and then some buttons. I think the Rubik's Cube, actually, let me see if we can do a little just quick demo of the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, that would be cool. Okay.
Cube Alone.
Cube Alone.
Double tap to open.
The name of the app is Cube Alone.
Can you spell that?
C-U-B-E-A-L-O-N-E, all one word. Cube Alone.
And that's in the App Store. You just search for it.
Yes. So when I came into the app, the first thing it says...
Cube Alone. Blue in back left corner of top face.
Okay, so when we come into the app, it says blue in back left corner of top face. So what the app shows us is the top face, the right face, and the front face. So if I swipe right...
Green in back right corner of top face.
Green.
Three finger swipe to turn. Double tap to toggle selection. Blue in front left corner of top face. Yellow in front right corner of top face. Three finger swipe to turn. Double tap to toggle selection.
So I now know that the two left squares in the top face are blue, and the two right squares are neither of those things. So I'm going to swipe up with three fingers. So now,
blue in back left corner of top face, orange in back right corner of top face, blue in front left corner of top face, yellow in front right corner of top face.
So what you do is you can use three fingers to turn half of the cube, or you can double tap
yellow in front right corner of top face,
and you can select the whole cube to rotate it so that you can get to other faces.
Yellow in front right corner of top face. White in top right corner of front face. three-finger swipe to turn. Double tap to toggle selection. Yellow in top right corner of front face.
It sounds like it takes some practice.
It takes some thought, is what it takes.
So you said there were some card games in the book. Can you demonstrate one of the card games?
Oh, yes. Let's have a look at traditional Klondike Solitaire.
Klondike deal three cards. Starting new Klondike three game. Dealing Tableau cards.
Oh, that's so cute. You can hear the cards moving.
Yes.
Dealing waste cards. To go back to the main menu, swipe up with three fingers. For quick help, press three fingers for 2 seconds. Waste pile. There are three cards. King of Diamonds.
Ah, there's a King of Diamonds face up. That's exciting. So, if you remember Solitaire, there's 7 cards across the front. And we can just swipe from left to right.
Tableau. Pile 1. Card 1. Top card. Ace of Spades. 8 of Clubs. Ace of Hearts. 10 of Spades. Jack of Clubs. 4 of Clubs. 10 of Clubs.
So, I've got two
four
aces.
Of clubs. Jack of 10 of Ace of Hearts. 8 of Clubs. Ace of Spades. Moving Ace of Spades and Tableau to Foundation.
I can start building the foundation, because the object of this game is to go aces to kings in 4 piles.
8 of clubs. No cards on pile 1.
So, I have nothing on pile 1. So now, I can take that king that's in the waste pile, and I'm going to do a 1-finger quadruple tap.
King of hearts.
So they're a gesture, so I can have it tell me what all the cards are across. I can have it tell me what cards are in any pile. I can flick among them.
4 of clubs, 10 of spades.
So that's what you're doing now, flicking across the various rows.
Yes. And then I'm going to...
Moving ace of hearts and Tableau to foundation.
I can...
Now two of hearts is exposed on pile 3.
So it's just... I can actually play it a lot faster than I ever could with traditional paper cards.
So this game sounds like it was developed specifically for the blind from the name of the game.
Well, this is the kid-friendly software stuff that doesn't have anything on the screen. So the idea is that it might be appealing to sighted people who wanted a bit more of a challenge, and it's absolutely accessible to blind people.
Oh, interesting. I take it not all of these games were developed specifically for the blind. Some of them must be just accessible through the power of voiceover.
Oh, most of them are just accessible through the power of voiceover. There are only a few that were developed for specific developmental reasons, like the blindfold games. There are certainly app developers that are aware of blind people. For example, there's an app called Four Down, Beautiful Crosswords, and it's a crossword puzzle game. And it's really a really fun game, but he actually has a voiceover mode in this game that... Because he's a mainstream developer with a mainstream game. But because voiceover users have contacted him and he's made it say the row and column, so it's a little bit easier to figure out where you are.
So these app developers then are receptive to suggestions from people in the blindness community, and sometimes they'll modify these apps so they do work with voiceover.
They really are. I've had tremendous luck writing to app developers and explaining that I use VoiceOver and explaining what about their app doesn't work or could work better. And sometimes we're ignored, but I would say probably 75% of the time I get back a positive response. And lo and behold, the next time an update for that app comes out, it actually does work better.
Yeah, I think if you can clearly and succinctly tell them what VoiceOver is, why it's important, and how it works, and how they might improve their app, that can be pretty effective. And, you know, they're willing to make some changes if they can make them pretty easily.
Two of these apps, one is called Accessible Minesweeper, and the other is Accessible Othello. They were developed by an app developer in Europe that is a developer specifically for blind people and have developed these games for blind people.
Mm-hmm.
And then kid-friendly software has another one called Blindfold Racer. And it's like driving a car. And you actually turn your iPhone like you're turning the wheel of a car.
Oh, geez.
keep from hitting the fence and keep from running over things. And it's great fun.
Oh, that's really cute. I didn't realize there was such a wealth of accessible games out there, particularly for children.
A lot of the games in this book are quite suitable for kids.
Game on. Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about any of Judy's books, how to purchase them, and how to contact Judy Dixon directly.
If people wanted to find out more about some of the books you've written or purchase these books, where would they go?
Okay, they can go to National Braille Press. And I would like to say that all of the books that I write for National Braille Press, I do as a volunteer. So I can shamelessly promote it, since all of the proceeds are going to National Braille Press and not to me. So I just wanted to say that. Mm-hmm.
And they're a wonderful organization and definitely worth supporting. But if in the process of supporting them, you get something useful, that's cool too.
I have great fun. National Braille Press, their website is www.nbp.org.
And what formats are these available in?
The formats are hard copy Braille, BRF, which is a formatted Braille file format suitable for note takers, Braille notes, things like that, Daisy Text, and EPUB. And the book costs $12.
Great. And they can also find your other books there, too.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of books. They have lots of how-tos and lots of iPhone books and cookbooks and just nice practical things that people might want to know how to do.
And if people wanted to contact you, Judy, how would they go about that?
The best way would be my email address, which is Judy, J-U-D-Y, at judydixon.net. JUDYDIXON.net.
And if you missed any of that contact information, as usual, you'll be able to find all of that in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And if you go to the National Braille Press's website, you'll be able to find all of Judy's books and many other useful resources.
That's it for show number 1530. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about Learning Ally, formerly known as Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic. We'll speak with Kristen Witucki about the services Learning Ally provides, in particular for students and professionals who have any type of reading impairment, whether it's a visual impairment or a learning disability or a physical impairment that makes it very difficult for them to turn the pages of a book. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.